Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming. This will be a presentation on building and deploying Microsoft System Center Operations Management Packs in the enterprise. My name is Alec King. I rejoice in the title of Director of Product Management at Veeam Software, where I run the team that builds the management pack for VMware. The management pack, formerly known as NWorks, now known as the Veeam Management Pack for VMware. And what I'd like to share today is some of the tips and tricks and lessons learned that we met when building this MP and deploying it to monitor some very large VMware environments, some massively multi-instance environments. And hopefully to share some of the problems that you can meet when you're building a management pack or configuring and deploying a vendor management pack that has to run in a large enterprise environment. So how many people here would say they're on the MP development side, purely building their own MPs from scratch and then handing them over maybe to production teams to run? Show of hands. And how many people are on the operations side and keeping the lights on and maybe even building their own MPs or certainly customizing vendor MPs? Okay. Who put their hands up for both of those? Yeah, me too. That's my background. I come from an operational background as well. I've been on the sharp end of many monitoring tools and their output. A few years ago, I jumped to the development side. But I'm keenly aware of, well, my own opinions of how a management pack should work, what sort of value it should bring, how it should make your life better and not worse. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'll spend most of the time in the demo lab, I think. I have a giant laptop here. It's like two paving slabs on a hinge. And it's running a SCOM server and a couple of agents. And I'll show you best practice MP and bad practice MP kind of in action there. I do have a few slides as well, so we will jump through some design principles, packaging the management pack. What should the files look like before you've even imported it? Building discoveries, tuning discoveries, scheduling data collections, and finally, kind of the end result of a management pack, the alerting. How should that work? What's the best practice to configure that? And some automation as well, because I love automation. And at the end, we'll look at some scalability danger signs, some key events that you might see in your environment or your customer's environments or your production environment, whatever, when Operations Manager is running up against some of these limits of scalability. So without further delay, management packs can be very good. They can really add value to your Operations Manager deployment or the whole purpose of it. They can have a well-designed health model. They can be alerting you on just what you need to be alerted on. They can be giving you the reports that you need. They can have a low impact operation and deployment, low impact to your Operations Manager infrastructure, and low impact to your kind of IT processes as well. They can just be adding value overall. Bless them. Bless those good management packs. On the other hand, of course, they can be bad. They can have a poorly designed health model. They can be collecting data that's not very relevant, not very useful. They can be alerting you when they shouldn't be alerting you. They can be difficult to deploy. They can impact your whole end-to-end operations manager system, right, from the database performance to the management servers to the agent itself. And they can impact your IT operations as well by raising alerts and generating tickets that are just clogging up your system when it's not useful data. And those management packs are little devils, and they just add pain to your deployment. Best practices, that's what we're here to talk about, but there isn't really as such a rule book for management packs. One of my heroes in the Operations Manager product teams at Microsoft is Vlad Joanovich, and he's fond of saying this too. It is really more art than science when you're building an MP. There are some rules that we'll definitely touch on today, some things which are bad practice, but a lot of other things depend on what you want to monitor, on the end user's requirements, on a bit of kind of thought about how you want health to roll up. There's not a hard and fast rule that health should always roll up to the top of the server, or it should never roll up to the top of the server. It depends what you're monitoring and maybe how your teams are structured operationally, how your application is structured and distributed. There's a lot of different ways to slice it, basically. But hopefully we can touch on some key points today. And the first one is take a few minutes to plan it out. I guess that's obvious for any complicated project. But when you've got a task, whether from your application owner, or you're building an MP to sell, or to just accompany the application that you sell, whatever you're doing, plan it out. Talk to the end users. Consider the end user who's going to consume this data that your MP produces. Understand the requirements they have. If they just tell you just to monitor their application, what do they actually mean by that? What do they mean by up, by down? What's a critical situation for them? What's just a warning situation for them? What's normal operations? As a rule, I would say give them actionable alerts. If you get an alert, there should be something for your operational teams to do. Otherwise, it's just kind of chatter. If you get an alert, an operations manager that sometimes can roll on and raise a ticket in Service Manager or some other ticketing system, there should be something for the operational teams to do rather than just close that ticket because it's a known problem or the problem went away in the meantime, something like that. Do include a knowledge base. Please, it's depressing to me how many management packs still ship today with nothing on the knowledge base tab. And that's a huge value add when you're building an MP. If you're deploying any vendor's MP that doesn't have knowledge base, then I would go back and ask some hard questions to that vendor, because your frontline operators, again, the consumers of this data, can't be an expert in everything they're monitoring. Operations manager is looking at the whole data center. It's looking at SQL Server, IIS, Active Directory, DNS, virtualization. It's looking at a whole bunch of stuff, and they can't be expected to know what these rather esoteric metrics might mean, what's the actual impact of this event, and a knowledge base is just absolutely key. It's a no-brainer to me that every alert should have knowledge accompanying it. And the final point was automation is great, love it. We all love automation. We all love eliminating those repetitive kind of tasks and those firefighting fixes, but try and stay in control of it. Runaway automation is even worse than no automation. So, packaging. Not much that you can do if you're deploying a third-party vendor's management pack in terms of the packaging. You can't break it out into separate files, as it should be by best practice. You might not even really be able to seal it. You could, I guess. But certainly, vendor MPs should come sealed. Everyone familiar with what it means by a sealed management pack? The raw management pack is an XML file, the raw XML for Ops Manager to consume. And if you run it through the MP seal utility available on the Operations Manager CD, it will be turned into a .mp file. And the big difference is that that .mp file is protected. It can't actually be modified by the end user. When they create overrides and customizations for that, those will be stored somewhere else. They won't actually be directly modifying your MP if it's sealed. And that obviously gives you, as the producer of this MP, control when you come to do an upgrade, something like that. You'll know that you're upgrading the same MP that you delivered. It's not going to be full of modifications, tweaks, hacks, and other changes that make it really unsupportable. And breaking into separate files is also quite important. Most of you have probably noticed that Microsoft Management Packs, for example, come as a library MP, a discovery MP, a monitoring MP. And that is all to do with, again, lowering the impact on a system when you deploy that management pack. I have an operations manager system here. and two agents, where we're going to demonstrate good and bad practice. I'm going to monitor a business application. It's a service and it has some associated behaviors. And I'll install the same service on two agents. It'll be exactly the same business application, but one of them I'll monitor with a good practice MP and one of them I'll monitor with a bad practice MP. You can actually see the difference. And the first difference will be in deployment. Here are my MPs. Bad practice is a single file. If you noticed in the load dialog, it's actually also XML, it's not sealed. And the whole MP is in one file. The good practice is in three files. I'll just start that importing. And one of the main reasons that MPs should be delivered as separate files is about the targeting and about the impact on the network and the agent of pushing out management packs. If a management pack has a discovery in it with a target of the Windows computer, say, because you're going to look for an application that could be installed on any Windows computer. So, of course, your discovery must target Windows computer. But that means that that management pack will have to be delivered to every operations manager agent running on every Windows computer. The whole MP, if it's one file, will be delivered to every agent so that the discovery can run there. Might not be a big deal if it's just a teeny tiny MP, but when you start looking at more complex MPs, even the Windows Server OS MP or the Exchange MP, something like that, if you load that into Operations Manager and it's just one homogeneous file and it then gets pushed on your network to every single agent, regardless of whether it will finally run there, the discovery is targeted at Windows computer, so it goes to every agent. That's a lot of network traffic, that's a lot of load on your Ops Manager server pushing all that out. I'll be able to show you how that works right here. Like I said, I've got an Operations Manager server, and I've got two agents. Let's first of all go to an agent here. Now this, I'll browse right from the start. Program files, system center, operations manager, agent. Health service state is the local cache file, all the status and management packs that this agent is running. Here are the actual management packs that it's downloaded. I'll do the same on the second agent. We're in this folder here. You can also watch the event log to see management packs being delivered. Event 1200 means it's the management server has informed the agent there are new MPs coming down the pipe, as it were. In the Ops Manager console, I can show you what I mean by targeting. So here's both my good and bad practice MPs. Now, to discover the service that's running, the target is Windows computer. And it's not bad practice to do that. If you want to find an application that might be installed on any Windows computer, you have to target Windows computer. But it does mean that the MP with this discovery in it will be pushed there. And in the bad practice case, it's the whole management pack. Now, the best practice MP, for one thing, I have narrowed the scope of that. It's targeted at Windows Server 2008 computer. So it won't be delivered now to every computer. It will be delivered to every Windows 2008 computer, because I happen to know that my application will only be installed on 2008. But the main point is that this discovery lives only in the discovery management pack. And remember, the application hasn't even been installed on these agents yet. There's nothing running there. But the whole bad practice MP has just landed, probably on both agents by now. It's been pushed up by the management server to both agents. I'm actually going to do an override while I'm here. I'll show you one of the issues with overrides and sealing an MP as well. Now, the best practice MP, I don't want it to run there. So I'm going to override that discovery and disable it. Now you see I'm being prompted to select a management pack to store that override in. Absolutely best practice. The default used to be the default management pack in Ops Manager 2007. It's a very bad idea to put all your overrides in the default management pack or in any one management pack, because then you create a dependency. If you put overrides for multiple management packs into the default management pack for your overrides for Exchange and your overrides for SQL and your overrides for whatever, then you've tied all your management packs together to that single point. You can't go delete a management pack. You can't remove the Exchange MP, because Ops Manager will tell you, no, first you've got to clear the overrides from this MP, which is dependent on it, the default MP. But if this default MP has your overrides for everything, you can't delete that. And this is a well-known best practice. There's not so many customers coming to our support now with help in exporting their default MP, carving out all the different overrides for all the different MPs and putting them into separate management packs. But that's the situation you would get in if you store your MPs in one MP, in the default MP, store your overrides there. You'll tie everything together and you'll tie yourself in a knot when you're trying to manage MPs going forward. So in terms of best practice, I will create a new MP to store my overrides. Practice. Overrides. If I was being really best practice, I'd add description and a knowledge base here, but please forgive me if I skip that today. So I've disabled that MP for my agent 2. Now I can't get to the OK button. I'll do. And this is because, again, the application, the service that I'm going to install with some monitoring behavior we want to have, is going to be exactly the same application on these two agents. It's not the application that's good or bad. Applications are just applications. It's the management pack that's good or bad. So for the bad practice MP, I'm also going to override it. Service this one. So it doesn't run on my first agent. Enabled equals false, but you notice I don't have the option to store that override anywhere. Because this is an unsealed MP, bad practice, the override is going to be stored in that MP. That's making that MP very hard to support going forward, because every end user's customizations are injected straight in the MP. When you come to, say, upgrade, if you release a version 2 of this MP, you've fixed some bugs, you've added some features, the end user can't import it without overriding all of the overrides they've created, all of their customizations. And you have a situation again where you've got to dive into that MP, try and pull the overrides out, install your upgrade, reapply the overrides, hopefully in a separate management pack. So definitely when you're building your own MPs, seal them. It just protects yourself going forward, protects upgrade, imposes proper versioning and so on. And any vendor MPs should definitely be sealed. If not, ask the question. Now, the best practice MPs have showed up on the agent. Again, nothing's installed yet. These MPs have been pushed out because the discovery targets Windows 2008 computer, so it has to go to every Windows 2008 computer. The discovery is going to discover some custom management pack classes. They're in our best practice library, so that has also been delivered. But you'll notice that the monitoring MP, I'll show you again, there are three. There is discovery, library, and monitoring for best practice, but the monitoring MP has not been delivered there. And that again is because of the targeting. The monitoring MP, I can show you in the actual XML. I hope nobody's allergic to XML. raw or undercooked XML, blah, blah, blah. All of the targets in the monitoring MP are only items from the library, the best practice library MP. There's no Windows computer targets in the monitoring MP. And that's why that management pack doesn't need to be pushed to every Windows computer. And the monitoring part of the management pack will usually be the bulk of that file. Most of the monitoring rules, performance collection rules, event rules, the monitors themselves, will be in the monitoring MP. And if you break out your MP into those separate files, and therefore don't force your management server to push that to every single agent, you've reduced a lot of network traffic and a lot of calculation and a lot of overhead. Just before your MP is even running, you've optimized the situation with delivery. Now, the bad practice MP, like I said, I had no option but to store the override in the MP itself. So again, just to compound the bad practice problem, that whole MP, because I added one override, has now been pushed again to all the agents, to all Windows computers. So again, it's only 66K at the moment, this MP, but when you multiply this problem by 10, 100,000 agents, with a couple of dozen management packs that aren't like best practice, you've got a lot of network traffic, chatter, and configuration being exchanged that you don't need to have. Now, I will just do one more override while I'm here. The bad practice management pack has a discovery frequency of 300 seconds. I'm going to dive into discovery in the next slide. The best practice management pack has a discovery pushed out to 3 hours. Much better idea. I am actually going to override it for the purposes of this. Store it in my overrides MP. But discoveries, definitely, do you really need to check every minute or two that an application has been installed? Most discoveries, like a registry check or something, are not very expensive. It's quite easy for the Ops Manager agent to quickly check the registry. But there's probably no real business need for your discoveries to be running every 2 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe even every hour. If an application gets pushed out, deployed on a server somewhere in your organization or your customer's organization, whatever, ask yourself, how often do you really need to check if that app's installed, discover it, and start the monitoring? Probably not every 2 minutes. So by default, the discoveries should definitely be pushed out an hour or two, several hours. You can always override them, and certainly I'm overriding them right now. This discovery also, I'll tweak. But discovery thrashing and the load that that puts on your operations manager environment is a pretty hot topic. Well, that's all getting pushed out. We can discuss discovery thrashing. So discovery is being scheduled too frequently. You could definitely look at the root cause of discovery thrashing. There is no need to be checking constantly, probably, if something is installed. Where it really falls down is if you have dynamic properties, and this is for your MP builders out there. When you're creating a class, when you're modeling a class, you can give it all kinds of interesting properties. Windows computer has the properties of the installed OS and the IP address, maybe, and the Active Directory, OU that's in, all that kind of stuff is great. You can use that for creating groups, use that for reporting, use the groups to do overrides, all that kind of thing. But definitely, this properties should not be dynamic. They shouldn't be something that changes frequently. IP address probably doesn't. The installed operating system probably doesn't. But if you're discovering a disk on a computer, you want to monitor that. You could have a property of the size of the disk. That's absolutely fine. It's a 500 gigabyte disk, whatever. It's not going to change. But never have a property of the free space. The free space could be changing constantly, and every time the discovery runs, it finds that disk. It has a new property. As far as Ops Manager is concerned, that's the same as a new object. It forces a complete recalculation on the agent side of all the running monitors of that object and all the objects it's also linked to, it has a relationship with. The agent really recalculates its whole topology. And it then exchanges that data with the Ops Manager management server as well. There is chatter back and forth between the management server and the agent about new objects, new properties to be stored in the database. The configuration is overall updated. The management server sends the configuration back to the agent. There's a lot of back and forth just because you changed one property and one object. And if you do that continually, if you have a discovery scheduled very often and a property that's dynamic, you're really going to be pounding your management server, pounding the agent, the management server, the back-end database. I'll be able to show exactly what happens with that in the demo in a second. And overall, I would say streamline your topology. When you're building a health model for an application, you might have an application and some components, a service, and some associated bits and pieces. And those diagram views in Ops Manager are great. And you can roll up state. You can get a very visual picture of what's going on in your application. But I would say try and streamline it. Don't discover too many child objects for your application and running too many monitors and so on against those. It's not handled very efficiently, and especially when you get massively multi-instance environments, tens, hundreds, or even thousands of objects. In the management pack for VMware that we've developed, we can have up to 5,000 objects on a single agent, because it's acting as a proxy for a large virtualized environment. There are host servers, there are virtual machines, there's storage. It's creating all of these objects in a linked topology. You definitely have to take care when you're running those discoveries, when you're changing the property or the relationship of any object, that agent has to recalculate everything and talk to its management server and exchange the recalculation configuration data. It's a big load. So having packaged your MP, delivered it, discovered some stuff, now you're monitoring it. You're collecting some data, performance rules, probably, and monitors, event rules, and so on. So again, consider how often you really need to collect some performance counters. Do you need them every minute? Are you really going to dive back and forensically look at CPU usage every minute? Probably not. Probably snapshots of every 5 minutes or even longer for certain counters would be useful. And it's all going to reduce the impact on your back-end database, the collection impact on the agent itself. Filling up the database with redundant performance data is definitely a problem you should be aware of. Once you've pushed out those rules that might run on tens or hundreds or even thousands of servers, just think of the millions of rows of data that you're putting in your Ops Manager database that might not be as useful as you think they were. Who's a fan of optimized performance collection? Me. Nobody else? Optimized performance collection is great because it allows you to kind of still collect at a granular level, but there is some smart processing on the agent side as to what will actually be sent upstream and stored in the database. This is a screenshot straight out of the Ops Manager UI, which I think is probably the best explanation of optimized collection. The data on the left and the right is exactly the same. It's the same source data. There are 9 data points. And if you didn't optimize at all, you would store 9 data points in the database, which might be fine. You might need that most granular sort of monitoring picture. But the best example I like is disk space. If you're monitoring disk space, it can be very stable. It can be 10% free And 5 minutes later, it's still 10% free. And every 5 minutes you check and it's 10% free. Why fill the Ops Manager database with that information? Every 5 minutes, storing another performance point, 10% free, 10% free. You definitely want to monitor the disk space. It might suddenly plunge, you might run an update, anything could happen, and disk space will drop drastically. So you want to check it every 5 minutes, but you don't want to store it every 5 minutes, and that's what optimized collection does. On the left, it's optimized very highly, tolerance being the gray box, the gray band, the height of that band. So unless the data point that Ops Manager receives differs, if it's outside the tolerance of the previous point, then it'll be stored. Otherwise, Ops Manager will just drop it. In the left-hand example, it's only storing the red data points, because the other ones didn't breach tolerance. Second one, no. Third one, still within tolerance. Fourth one, if it was disk space has dropped, and that's worth storing. You've breached the tolerance, so it will send that data point up, and you'll be able to chart it. It will be recorded in the database. The right-hand one is also using optimization, but a slightly smaller tolerance. So for the same data points, it stores 4. But you've still reduced. You're still getting a pretty granular picture of whatever you're monitoring, but you've reduced the data footprint in the database by over 50% by using some optimization. And you can create those optimized rules right in the Ops Manager UI. Just choose your tolerance type. It can be an absolute number, or it can be a percentage of the value. And one final point is you can choose maximum sample separation, which means that even if you stay within the tolerance, every whatever you like, 5 samples, 10 samples, whatever you set it to, Ops Manager will store a point anyway. To my mind, it just kind of proves that, yeah, I'm still watching this. Disk space is still 10% free, like it was an hour ago. Here's another point just to prove it, so that your charts and reports aren't absolutely empty. But it's very configurable, and it's a great way to reduce the overall footprint of data in your database while not sacrificing really any granularity. Because when it does change, you capture it. And cookdown. To really investigate cookdown, we probably need a 2-hour level 400 session. So please go and push Microsoft to schedule one of those. I'll happily come back and do it next year. Cookdown is a technique where you don't impact the external system that you're querying. You cook down your queries to external providers like WMI or Script or whatever, so that Ops Manager only runs them once. Do have an example of that here. Raw XML again, yummy. So this is just a WMI query, and it's not a cooked down query. It's actually taken from our VMware management pack, but it could be any WMI data source. It could be looking at Win32 logical disk in the WMI namespace, and it could be selecting disk free from logical disk. But the issue with cookdown is that this expression, this is an operations manager expression. You couldn't pass this straight to WMI. Operations manager will evaluate this. It's a property of the target. So it's like saying select disk free from Win32 disk, where disk name equals C, or disk name equals D, or disk name equals E. The reason it's not cooked down is that that query will, of course, be different for every disk that you target. That's a bit of an eye chart of a cooked down data source. But I'll skip right to a rule that is cooked down. This, again, is from our VMware management pack. And the big difference is in this query. It's select star from your WMI class. Like I say, it's virtual machines in this case, but it could be any data from WMI, could be logical disks, could be any attached devices. But the difference between this query and the previous query is there's no expression in the cookdown query. For every instance that this rule runs against, the query will be the same. It will pass up select star from whatever. No instance name in there. No disk 1, disk 2. No virtual machine 1, virtual machine 2. It will pass up the same query to the operations manager data source, which will cook it down into just one query. So instead of going to WMI and running 100 queries, each one with a specific instance name, Ops Manager can just run one query. And that essentially stops it from crushing the external source that it's querying. Now, the point of cookdown to me has always been that the Operations Manager is your faithful servant. If you tell it to run a script for every object X that exists, for every agent, for every disk, for every port on this network switch, whatever it is, Ops Manager will do that. It will run 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 scripts if you command it to. And you will possibly monitor a system to death just by trying to grab that data. So, like I say, cookdown probably deserves a whole session in its own right. But it's, to my mind, a way of limiting your impact on the system that you're trying to monitor. You don't sacrifice any granularity. You still get all the performance data you want. You just move the processing of that into the Ops Manager engine, which is very optimized and efficient at distributing all that data. Rather than query WMI 1,000 times, query it once, and then parcel the data out inside Ops Manager. Let me see what's going on in demo land. Okay, bear with me a second. Let's see if my discovery is going to work. Don't see why y'all should just sit looking at the slides, so I'll let you watch. Not sure if my overrides took effect for the best practice MP. It's actually because I can't see the OK button. I'm not sure if I'm clicking it. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Let's just reapply. OK. So actually, what this demo is doing, there's a service running. Yeah, that also looks OK. So we're monitoring the service. That's our business application. And that service also, naughty service, leaves some files in the temp folder. I'll jump back to this and talk about the demo. So this is a business application. You want to monitor it. It runs as a service. But take it a bit further than that. If that's your task, add some value. Do some discovery with the end users of this application. Find out their real requirements. What do they mean by up-down of this service? When do they want alerts? What sort of schedule? What's business critical and so on? Maybe find some repetitive management administration tasks that they continually have to do and add some value to that. This particular application continually writes files to a temp folder and it doesn't always clean up for whatever reason. Yes, applications are not really good or bad. It's the monitoring that we're talking about here and how we implement that. So that application can leave some files behind. Operations Manager can monitor that. No problem. We can monitor the size of a folder easily. A little snip of PowerShell will do that. What's more, Operations Manager can clean that folder too. If you want to clear the temp folder when it's got above a certain size, if this is a task that the application administration team or your server managers, whoever it is, keep having to regularly do, jump into this server, clear the temp folder out, introduce some automation for that, offload them of that repetitive kind of daily firefighting task, and you'll get some love. So let me just see if I've got some objects discovered yet. You might actually be about to see some real live troubleshooting. Let's search for those discoveries again. Discover the service. Yeah. Schedule 60. And that also. That's disabled for 2, enabled for 1. That is disabled for 1. Okay. If in doubt, bounce the service, especially during business hours. Let's actually make sure I don't have any kind of weird alerts. Oh, everything's green. Okay, let's... leave that like that. See if we discover something in a second. And I do want to mention, dive into the alerting that you configure in a management pack. Like I said, kind of the end purpose of why you're monitoring this application is to alert if the status is bad. I would say a best practice is definitely to make those alerts actionable. There should be something that the operators have to do if they get an alert, apart from just close it. You can't 100% guarantee that every time, but when there's an alert, if it's going to raise a ticket especially, if it's going to set the state of an object, there should be some way for the operator to be fixing that, escalating it to a different team, recording that status somewhere. Make it actionable, make it worthwhile to have an alert. There's chatty management packs will pretty quickly be ignored by the operational teams. It'll just be chat, 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 and they'll switch it off, perhaps literally. You do have severity and priority. Worth remembering, there's only the 2 alert states of warning and critical, but you can set priorities within those states. Excuse me. So you have more flexibility that way as well. Roll-ups. Again, it kind of back to art versus science, because should the state of an application roll up to the state of a server, for example? If SQL Server goes red, should it roll up and set the actual Windows server, the agent, to be red? Some people say yes, that's a key role of this server, it's a SQL server. If it goes red, I want the server to go red, there's an overall problem. Some people, myself included, probably would say, no, if SQL is unhealthy, then for sure SQL's unhealthy. Troubleshoot that, get the SQL team on it. But it doesn't mean that the server's unhealthy. It shouldn't necessarily roll up to say that your agent, your Windows OS, whatever, the server itself is unhealthy because a SQL service is stopped, because the database is offline, whatever it is. So I would probably come down in the camp of not rolling up state automatically for everything. Don't just roll up red all the way from a minor component right the way to the server. But it is art versus science. It's a choice. It often depends on how maybe your organization carves up its different monitoring teams and who's watching alerts and who's responsible for what. There's a lot of different factors. So it's an ongoing debate. Definitely allow flexibility through overrides. Expose as much as possible through overrides for your monitors, for your rules, like use optimized performance collection. But you can expose the tolerance settings and the maximum separation and so on as overrides. Give your end user the flexibility to deploy that management pack and configure it how they like it. You can set defaults, but people love to tweak those defaults according to their own needs. So make sure you've exposed that through overrides, and if your management pack's sealed, those overrides will be stored somewhere else anyway. Your management pack will still be inviolate as you shipped it, and you'll be okay for upgrades and so on. Definitely include a knowledge base. And I said it twice, because I really mean it. Include a knowledge base. It's absolutely part of the value. It's not anything to do with scalability in your SQL database or loading your agent with discoveries. It's about the IT operations now. It's about the processes within your business. It's about frontline operators getting an alert and knowing what to do with it, knowing what team to escalate it to, knowing who to call if it's 2 a.m., what actions they can take. It's definitely just huge value to add, you know, value instead of pain, you know, to the IT operations. Well, guess what? Nothing's been discovered yet. You've no idea how many times I did this. Dun, dun, dun. In that case, it's back to the PowerShell. I hope nobody's allergic to PowerShell. I can show you in the discovery, for example, this is a discovery script used as a data source in the bad practice management pack. It's going to find that application and the temporary folder. And let's see now. This is the good management pack. So the properties it's setting the computer name, the path to the folder, things that aren't going to change. Now I go to the bad practice management pack. Scroll down to the XML, monitors. There's the service discovery. And here's the discovery for the temporary folder that it's going to create in the bad practice MP. And the mistake it's making is adding a dynamic property. The number of files in the folder is actually being set as a property on that folder object, which might seem like a good idea at the time. If you're interested in an object, you're discovering it with your management pack, You want to set some interesting properties there. You're thinking about the files in this folder, so you set the number of files as a property. But that's a property that's going to change pretty much every time that your discovery runs. And if your discovery runs frequently, it's going to be thrashing the database. I actually have a SQL query that will show that. This query is looking at the Ops Manager database. Just to prove this demo was working yesterday, this is when I ran it. It's looking at discovery changes. There's quite a few of these SQL queries being posted on various blogs and things, Daniel Grandini's blog, Kevin Holman's blog as well, I think. Because it's definitely a very hot topic, discovery thrashing. When Microsoft support, maybe our consulting services come to do a health check, one of the things they will look at in your operations management environment is there discovery thrashing, and which particular rules and objects are thrashing the discovery? Which objects are being discovered repeatedly too often, especially with changing properties? This is a slightly modified version of that query, but it's doing the same thing. It's looking at this temp folder object. It's looking at the num files, number of files property of that object. And as you can see, it's constantly changing. The number of files in that folder keeps changing. The property keeps changing every time the discovery runs. Ops Manager looks on that as a new object. The agent exchanges this information with its management server. The management server posts it in the database. It doesn't simply replace the existing object. As you can see, it keeps a history of that. There is quite a long history and caching of objects before they're eventually groomed. There's 833 rules in this query already. And that basically is really pounding the Ops Manager database. Dynamic properties plus especially frequent discoveries is really going to impact the performance and the stability of the Operations Manager backend. Darn. Okay, looks like we'll have to forget that. Pity, I had some really nice, cute icons and so on. Another thing is about that automation we introduced. Like I said, automation is great, but stay in control of it, and also make it a bit smarter. The bad management pack came out of the box with a command to clear the temp folder. As soon as this threshold, again, out-of-box threshold was breached, it would run this pretty simple bit of PowerShell and just recursively delete all the files in that folder. One problem with that, I would say, is that you're not sure if you're actually interrupting or impacting a business service by doing that. Automation, I prefer to have the possibility that the end user can enable it. Create an alert, maybe, for the first situation and let the user know there is a recovery action. You could turn this on. It's off by default, but just override it, turn it on, and we'll start clearing this folder for you. And furthermore, the good MPs, like PowerShell, to clear that folder is a little bit deeper and a little bit smarter. For one thing, it stops the service before it cleans it. As a matter of fact, the bad management pack would fail to clean all the files because at least one file would be locked. The good management pack is going to stop the service before it tries to clear the files, and that's another reason why it probably shouldn't be enabled out of box, because you might not want to be restarting that service in business hours. And all of this information would be, of course, in your knowledge base for the first alert that gets raised. If it fails to stop the service, there's a try-catch around stopping that service, and there are some script events. Very easy from your script to log an event. It goes to the Operations Manager event log. You can choose your description and your source and your event number, and of course, once you've got events in the event log, you can very easily build a couple of rules in your management pack to look for those events and do some self-monitoring. The management pack's job is not really, I'd say, just to monitor the application that you're interested in, but monitor itself as well, especially if there's automation. Monitor your own behavior, monitor the availability, of your own monitoring, and make sure you're not like silently failing, for example, to do the monitoring job. Further to stopping the service, it will try and clear the folder. Pretty much the same command as the other script, but again, there's a try catch around it. If it fails, it will log another specific event. You can very easily build an event rule in your MP to respond to that and let the end user know, we tried to clear the folder, we failed, feed the error message through, and again, give them the clue that something is going wrong with the monitoring automation, rather than just... First script is great. It actually even writes that message as part of the recovery action, even so it doesn't do any error trapping, so it doesn't know that it cleared anything successfully. It's just the last action in the script. So make sure to, I'd say, write some informative messages, monitor your own monitoring, and let the user know what's going on, without, of course, being over chatty about it. So, I have listed a few interesting events that you might see in your own environments, especially when the Ops Manager agent is, or management server, is coming up against some of these scalability issues, some of the discovery thrashing or data collection scheduled too often. Just too much data you're trying to force through the agent. You can see some of these events. Dropping instance data, which in my team is affectionately known as the many, many error. If you're lucky, this rule will tell you, this event will tell you the ID of the rule and even the instance, the object that it was running against when it just overloaded and dropped all this data. But as a rule, if you have got like a proxy agent that's monitoring a lot of external systems, cross-platform servers, maybe network devices, some of those new features in Ops Manager 2012, where there are a lot of workflows running on the Operations Manager server itself, getting that external data, you can see this 4506, and it may just say many, many, but it gives you a clue at least that the agent is being overloaded. Too many workflows, too much data. It's Ops Manager telling you that I give up. I just dropped that stuff. Sorry, I dropped the ball. This is another good one. The event log provider, it could be any event log. It will tell you the name. And it's so many minutes behind in processing events. Again, it means the agent is overloaded. It's got its markers in the event log, but it's falling further and further behind real time in trying to process those events, feed them through all the monitors and rules they should be going through, and send it upstream to the management server. So that's a clear indicator that the agent is stressed in some way. It may recover from that, or it may not, but it's definitely a danger sign. Forgot about that guy. Agent restart, this is built in to Ops Manager. There are built-in thresholds for agents, not for management servers, but for agents on the handle count or private bytes of the health service or monitoring host processes. If those thresholds are tripped, the agent will actually be restarted by a script triggered by Ops Manager. In general, probably a good idea. If there's really high memory usage on the agent, something could well be stuck there, and bouncing the servers might be the best idea. But again, if you've got a proxy agent, if you're doing large discoveries, if you're monitoring lots of objects, high memory usage and handle count might be expected, and restarting the agent will just make it start all over again, building that discovery, loading those monitors, using more memory, and then it will get bounced again, and you'll be stuck in a loop. You'll never get any data at all, in fact, out of that. So watch out for these events, and if it's expected that you need a bit more memory, then tweak the thresholds for those rules. the version store error. The agent has an on-disk local cache, an ESE, extensible storage engine cache, quite an efficient little database file on disk, where it stores configuration data and so on as it's maybe running a big discovery and building out a topology. It's quite small by default on an agent, because as a rule, an agent doesn't need a huge amount of local data to build out discovery for just local systems. But again, especially if you're on a proxy agent, if you're in that situation with lots of cross-plat servers reporting there, lots of network devices, something like that, lots of virtualized hosts and virtual machines, in our case, at Veeam, then that disk file can get full. When it's full, you'll see this event, and your agent is pretty much dead at that point. It's never going to recover from that, in my experience. It's never going to chew through that data and kind of recover. The thing to do at that point is just stop the service, clear the health service cache. There actually is a task for that in Ops Manager in the context of the agent. Or you can just manually stop System Center Management Health Service, clear the health service store folder, and start it again. The agent will go back to the management server, it will get its configuration, get its management packs again. And if it's expected that you do need a lot more space than default, you can tweak a registry setting to increase that value. That is the registry setting. It's in the services under system for the agent health service. And you can increase it markedly from the default, but I definitely say make sure that this is an agent that requires that extra disk space, an agent that's managing a very large topology. And if it does, watch out for disk I/O to that file. Make sure it has reasonably fast disks, because it is going to be talking quite a lot to that version store file. And these two events are just informational in Ops Manager event log. But they're, again, a real guide as to, are there too many discoveries running? Is there too much configuration chat back and forth between the agent and the management server? Is the management server itself, the RMS for 2007, seriously overloaded? There's two events here. 2125 shows that this agent has got its new configuration, and 1210 shows it's finally processed and loaded, and now it's running that configuration. It's agreed with the management server on all the objects that it owns, and all the monitors that run there, and all the overrides and so on, and it's off and running. You do have to match this GUID, the state cookie GUID, in both events. It's not just that one event follows another, because especially if you have a problem, these events can overlap. You get a new configuration received, and then you get configuration active for the previous configuration. And then this configuration is loaded, but it still hasn't loaded the most recent one it received. And they're overlapping. So you've got to match those GUIDs and look at the timestamp between them. And there shouldn't really be a lot of these. If you've got discovery thrashing, discoveries are running too often, properties are changing, then there's going to be lots, like continuous pairs of these events back and forth between the agent and the management server. Again, multiplied by 100,000 or more agents, you're really taxing the root management server with that. So to summarize, when you're looking at scalability, especially when you're maybe using those new features in 2012, monitoring cross-platform systems, network devices, where workflows are running on management servers or agents, think about the number of workflows, that's rules plus monitors and discoveries, multiplied by the number of instances that you discover. It mounts up really fast by the time you've got a large multi-instance environment. Don't forget about that disk cache. Everyone's probably pretty familiar with speccing their SQL Server backend and making sure that's got fast disks. But if you're running a lot of discoveries and monitoring a large topology on an agent, it's going to use its disk I.O. quite heavily as well. On the management server side, management server, root management server, as it's called in 2007, all of the agent stuff above will impact that too. Management server is also doing group updates, things like that, agreeing discovery configuration with the agents. So a badly configured agent is definitely going to knock on and affect your management server as well. That's a great link. I included that because there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of different events in there, some of the ones I showed and a few more. There's some good operations manager performance counters, and also OS performance counters, SQL performance counters, to really let you do a health analysis of your ops manager system. That's a Microsoft KB article. There's a great many online resources out there, but that's a particularly good one. Announcing free stuff. Officially released yesterday, but we're announcing and blogging and tweeting it all today. This is a free tool for you hardworking ops manager administrators out there. It's our extended generic report library. Ops Manager ships with a generic report library out of box, the Microsoft GRL, and you can use that to kind of build your own linked reports and so on. When we were building our NWorks Veeam Management Pack 5.7, we found some limitations in those templates, the Microsoft out-of-box ones, so we built our own to give us a bit more flexibility in building our reports for the Veeam Management Pack. And I thought these reports would be pretty useful, probably, for ops manager administrators who are struggling with building their own reports. So these don't require our Veeam MP. You can import them into any SCOM group. They'll work for any of your data, any of your management packs. There's a great one on alert statistics, for example, alert troublemakers, whether the troublemaker is a particular rule where you're getting lots of alerts, lots of noise, or from the other point of view, a particular object which is generating lots of alerts, lots of noise. You can build alert statistic reports before and after you've taken tuning actions, that kind of thing. And that is a free download for your enjoyment from Veeam.com. And more free stuff. It's like all your birthdays came at once. We actually released this last week, but I thought it deserved an announcement today as well. Veeam are justly famous for our backup and replication product. It backs up VMware and Hyper-V environments with all kinds of great features, and you can go to our booth to learn about that. But we did release a free edition last week, which doesn't have all the kind of job scheduling and so on that you need in a backup tool. It's an ad hoc backup. Point it at your VMware host or your Hyper-V host, right-click a VM, and back it up. It will be compressed. You'll lose all that white space. You'll probably fit it on a USB key, take it home, load it in your own lab, move it to another server, import it there. It's Veeam Zip. It's WinZip for virtual machines. What more can I say? Also free. Ooh. No, that's a nice transition. Let's let that happen. I didn't do these transitions. There's all your resources, your tech ed stuff, lots going on. That's just great. I wish I could do that. Win an Xbox. Sounds good. And with your mobile telephones, I believe you can snap this and do the evaluation on mobile. Please do complete the evaluation. It's very important. It's how us other speakers poke fun at each other in the bar afterwards. So don't forget to do that as long as it's good. No, seriously, do it. And that's it. I think I've even left a few minutes for questions. Please jump up to the mic if you've got a question. Otherwise, thank you all very much.
I do have a question. I was wondering what your thoughts or findings were on the new method of PowerShell implementation in 2012. Your thoughts of that shared memory model versus kind of going back in time to pre-R2? Or did you even have to deal with that yet?
Yeah, it doesn't really impact us. Our discoveries we use in the VMAN pack aren't impacted by that. Yeah.
If you do cook down properly, it shouldn't be an issue. But
yeah, it shouldn't be, but sometimes it is. Yeah. Ah, yes.
These optimizations collected for performance counters. Mm-hmm. When they collect the data, when you pull a report, if you have, if they only send in the spots where it's actually changing, does the report say that like one point and then it's like an even line to where it's been changed?
Right.
Over that period of time.
Right. Yeah, the question was the optimized performance collection. Are you going to actually just see a kind of a gap or a line jumping between two distant points in your reports if it was optimized between? And yes. The answer is yes, you will. Those points, it's calculated on the agent side. So the agent is literally looking at the previous data point and the current data point, and it just doesn't send it. Yes, you could have hours or even longer between the points. That's where you set the maximum sample separation to make sure that you do get an occasional data point. And to me, it always proves just that, you know, the monitoring is still working and there's something in the reports, even if the metric is static. But yeah, it's a balance. I think overall the savings in the database probably make it worth it. Well, the exact time when it changed would be when the new point was logged.
Yeah, but I can say that when I'm still there, but I usually implement like SCOM to the client, and then I leave, and then they can...
And they have questions about these gaps.
It has actually grown a little bit over time, where it's just jumped at one point in time. So.
Yeah, you're, by optimizing, you are sacrificing some granularity. That's true. It's art and science. Which do you want?
Well, thank you for agreeing.
Thank you. Thanks. Drop by the booth and get those report packs.